Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Welcome back to another episode of Buffalo Happy Hour. Mike, what's going on, dude?
Derek, we traveled. Not too far.
No.
No, not too far this time. It's different because we normally drive out to like Naples, but it's nice for a Hamburg visit with our friends, our old longtime friends. So we'll start with introductions for those that don't know who you are and where we are, and then we'll dive into all things you guys because there's a lot to discuss.
Yeah. Well, I'm Casey Casas. And this handsome devil next to me is my beautiful husband.
Chris Cassis. How you doing?
We're awesome, very good, man.
So where are we at?
Yes. Augie's.
Augie's.
Fast Eats Cool Treats in the village of Hamburg.
So where do we want to start? Because you were on our show 5 years ago,
yeah,
pretty much. So there's a lot of changes. A lot of different things have come up inside and outside of work for both of you, but we can start wherever you want, and then we'll just kind of let it fly.
Well, I'm trying to think, because, I mean, we haven't gone through that much. I mean, there was a baby that we listed for a heart transplant. We moved. Oh, and then there was a $500,000 lawsuit launched against us from our friend and business partner.
So let's take a step back then, because if people didn't listen to our Miso Sizzles episode, can we go through kind of how you got started in the restaurant industry, what happened, just very briefly, because if you want more information on that, go back and watch that video, but just give everybody a brief understanding of how you guys got started.
So it was COVID. I had been a bartender for a long time. Same with Chris. We were trying to decide what to do. Do we get married? Do we buy a house? Like, what do we do? Like, we want to be adults, mm-hmm. And I wanted to buy a house. Chris wanted to open up a restaurant. We opened up a restaurant. So we came up with the Mr. Sizzles concept during COVID. We had nothing better to do. We were in this super tiny North Buffalo apartment, and we had been bartenders for forever and didn't want to go back to working for someone else. So we moved all of our furniture and put painter's tape down and drew out like our dream bar, and then we just went to work. And so Chris's friend of 25 years reached, or actually Chris ended up reaching out to her, had a dream about her and said, I had this bizarre dream. I remember your dad was sick. How is he doing? And she said, he actually passed away. And so they started talking, and she, you know, said, my husband just bought a building in the west side of Buffalo and wants to put a restaurant in there. Would you and your wife be interested in managing it? And he said, no, I don't want to manage a restaurant. But if you are interested in partnering with us, then we can talk.
Oh, okay.
And that's where it all started.
That's where it all started.
That's where it all started.
So the building was located directly across the street from Mr. Sizzle's Kitty Corner. And we were going to do this concept called the Duck Club. And it was like
just like a really cool
bistro style food with
like Irish pub.
Yeah, like brick oven pizzas and smoked cocktails. And COVID was going on, and then all of a sudden we couldn't do construction anymore. So the construction had completely stopped. And Carl Frislin, that owns the Horse Feathers building, approached us and said, hey, Perk's Cafe disappeared in the middle of the night and left all this shit. Do you guys want it? And if you do, then you need to sign a lease with me and put your restaurant here.
Oh, sweet.
So we went and looked at the space. Chris was furious.
I hated it. I did.
And I just told them, like, let's just go back to the drawing board and reconfigure our you know, concept. And so,
and then at that same time, I was working with a chef outside of Philadelphia because I mean, we were bored, you know, we were following the rules. We were in a tiny little apartment, just losing our minds.
Scared as so, shit. Yeah. It's like,
so like, my buddy, who's a chef out in, outside of Philly, was doing a burger restaurant. So I dove deep into the concept, just like helping them work on things. And I started getting a little, you know, like Gollum about it, like mine. So, but I was still doing it. And then he wasn't really into what I was doing. And then I just had this concept and I kept on building on it and building on it. And when Casey said that the Horse Feathers property was available, you know, we're like, what do we do there? It's so small, you know, besides enjoying my coffee in the morning, I don't know anything about it. And who wants to wake up that early? And then it was like, smash burgers. Let's do smash burgers. There's really, at the time, you know, there was Bros Burgers had the food truck. There was the place, Smash in Lackawanna, but there was really nothing else out there. So that's how Mr. Sizzles was like, was born. Right.
It
was
originally like, we were going to call it Burger Daddy.
Nice.
Yeah.
Then there was with Daddy's Patties. And
there was Get Smashed Burger.
Yeah. But then, you know, we kept going back and forth, and Chris had always stated, you know, I want like an Archie Comics style vibe. Like I think about like Archie Comics basically, and like the burger joint that they went to, like, let's do something like that. And so we really like went, you know, down a very dark road.
Yeah, we commit.
Like
we go all the way.
We really do. When we have a theme, like in every way possible, we see it through. So yeah, we started going through like different names, and we came up with Sizzles. And then, you know, Chris had said he really wanted a character, and then Mr. Sizzle was made.
That's
and
cool.
So it took off like wildfire. And the last little bit of money that we had in our bank before we opened, we bought a shit ton of t-shirts, and we gave them away to every bartender that we knew, and they started wearing them. So we had like 5,000 followers on Instagram before we even sold a single burger. And there was this like built up anticipation of like, what is Mr. Sizzle? Like, who is this character? And then it went nuts.
It's a great character.
It was, yeah.
You know, I mean, legit, when Casey and I, when the doors opened and we were ready to rock one, it was our 1 year wedding anniversary, and we had no idea because we were just grinding it out for so long. And we had $80 in our checking account.
Jeez.
Like, we put it all on the line. So
we have $160 in our checking account now.
So. Yeah. So you're doing real well.
Yeah. There it is.
We're winning. Do you ever miss the concept of the pizza that you were originally going to go with?
I think we would still do it. We have a couple different concepts. Like, Chris and I don't drink.
Mm-hmm.
This is an NA.
Nice.
You know, we don't do drugs. To be honest, we live like a very quiet, very boring life,
but
all things
insane.
Considered, but also insane because of our son. But when our like love language with each other is like these big dreams.
Sure.
And talking through like, what if we did this? You know, as a bartender from Buffalo that didn't go to college, like I never thought I would have the opportunity to do something like that. Like, that really was my American dream. I fulfilled that. And so now like we talk about these concepts and these big ideas, and we just try to grind it out and figure out how to do it. Cause like no one is stopping us.
And whereas before it was like, what if we did this? This would be a cool idea. Now it's, Case, remember this we were working on? Why don't I reach out to this person? Why don't we start doing this? I can R&D where it's, you know, we come up with an idea, we start thinking about it, and, you know, figure out the logistics and let's do it. So
he has like a notebook filled with like our restaurant concepts and names, and like then we start designing logos for him. And, you know, it's something nice for us. It brings us back to like a place where like we're close, you know, and there's like the noise of the kids running around and the dog needing to go to the groomers and his, you know, his mom coming over or my family driving me crazy. Like it's just us, you know, and it's like kind of takes us back to an easier, simpler time.
Now, back when you got all those followers because of the awesome marketing that you did, was one of those dreams expanding locations and coming to Hamburg, or I guess because at this point the restaurant was doing well, right?
Yeah, no, I mean, like when we, Chris has intuition. He does. I can't explain it. It's very bizarre. Like he gets these weird feelings, this like tingly sensation in his toes and fingers, and he just knows things, and I don't always believe him, and then they usually happen. Mm-hmm. So like I gotta trust him on that. He's always said from the very beginning when we opened Sizzles, like, this is our shot. Like, we're going to do this. We're going to open up other locations. And I just kind of wrote it off. But he was right. I mean, people fell in love with what we did. And we really poured ourselves into it. And, you know, unfortunately, we learned a lot of hard lessons in that. But that's also, like, the beauty of just going for it. Sure. And doing what you want to do. So, you know, take no prisoners, you know.
Yeah.
So who else was involved in Mr. Sizzles?
The Mr. Sizzles concept was Misha Wagner, which is a longtime friend of Chris, like 25 years. He had grown up with their family. And then her husband, John. And Misha kind of faded off into the background. She really wasn't around. But John was the finance bro, you know. And so he was very hands-off. He was basically like, here's a loan for $200,000. Do whatever the hell you guys want with it. And we were like, okay. And to us, it was like $200,000. Holy shit, like that's a ton of money. Like,
I'm going to buy an airplane.
Yeah, like we could do so much with this. And then we realized very quickly that that doesn't go very far, mm-hmm. trying to build a restaurant. And so, I mean, we opened up Mr. Sizzles on a shoestring. And
it was very DIY.
Yeah, so like, Chris and I were in there doing construction, things like we had never done before.
Casey fired the general contractor, what, week two? And then became a general.
He wasn't coming in, so.
It's a good reason to fire somebody.
It's like, I can do this. I couldn't do that.
Yeah.
But we did.
It's a hard job.
It was a very hard job. A lot of expensive lessons of like learning how to run plumbing and electric. But
yes.
But we had gotten all the equipment, mostly the equipment for free because it was from Perks. So, you know, we opened in May 27th of 2021, and that was that. We just went balls to the wall with it.
So at what point did you decide a move to Hamburg would be good?
Well, so we actually didn't move to Hamburg next. We actually went to Transit Road, and that's when all the drama started happening.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, you know, in probably, I don't know, early of 2022, our partner was like, I can't believe how well the restaurant's doing. It's debt-free, essentially. And, like, you guys should consider, like, let's open up another location. We were like, oh, sure. Like, okay. So Chris and I are working full-time in the restaurant, more than full-time. And he's like, start looking for a space. And we're like, okay. And this brokerage firm called Pyramid Brokers happened to have come into the restaurant and introduced themselves to us and said, we want to show you properties. We actually have properties of clients that we represent that are interested in your concept in their, you know, their development. So we started looking, and I fell in love with this bank on Transit and Casey. And we hired an architect and started designing what would have been at 6409 Transit Road. So we had found out I was pregnant with our son, and halfway through the pregnancy, we found out that he had a heart defect. So we didn't really know what to expect. The doctor was a little, I don't know.
Yeah, it wasn't the best.
Yeah, it wasn't the best experience. They didn't really tell us like how sick Augie was before he was born. They just said like, he has a heart defect. It's called this, you can Google it. And I was like, okay.
He's gonna have open heart surgery.
But no big deal. Like it's a pretty easy procedure. So we ended up having to deliver our son in Rochester, and he was very sick and had open heart surgery like 6 days after he was born. And we lived in the Ronald McDonald House in Rochester at Golisano Children's Hospital. So the construction is going on at Transit Road, and now I'm driving back and forth postpartum with a child that was not expected to make it through, and having to leave him and go to these town hall meetings and meetings with the contractor and meetings with the architect. And my business partner was adamant about us using this construction firm. And so
And like, not to cut you off, but when we say that we had Augie was born sick, I mean, they told us flat out, your son's probably not going to make it. Like, the day he was born, he was probably the sickest child in the country. And when he was born, you know, they took us, we went to the NICU, and the first time Casey got to hold him, we were FaceTiming her grandma, Augie went lifeless in her arms. And it was like, oh shit. And she's like, go get help. And I ran out the room to like get help. And before I could even get outside, there was a whole team of people, just like the movies. They came and they rushed in around Augie and they,
I mean, intubated him and
started like bringing him back, you know. And I remember Casey and I were looking at each other like, oh my God, what's going on? And somebody came up to us, they're like, you shouldn't be here, and took us into a room. And Casey and I were just crying our eyes out like, what the hell's going on?
Yes. I mean, this was like our every day for months. We were, Augie's first hospitalization, we were there for 80 days. So, you know, your parents and the thought of your kid having like a splinter is hard. Yeah. You know, this was like on another level. We've never had anybody in our family sick. And,
you know, he coded more than once.
Yeah. I mean, you know, there was just a lot of not great things that had happened, but he's here now, which is amazing. But yeah, when the construction was happening, on Transit Road, we were having to go back and forth a lot. And so that's kind of when shit started hitting the fan. So originally we were opening up on Transit. And then in 2024, while we had still been in construction, it was a long process on Transit Road. It was a bank originally. And so we had to go through different, go in front of, you know, the board.
Yeah, for zoning and stuff like that.
Yeah, zoning. And then people were writing these crazy letters about why they can't have a burger open up, a burger restaurant on Transit Road, because the woman behind the restaurant was vegan and she was going to have to smell animal flesh every day.
My favorite was like, they're going to bring pedophiles into the neighborhood. Yeah. I was like, wait, what?
We got to actually keep it. So like, we actually got these people write letters opposing construction. And I don't know if they realize, but their information is on all of these letters. And then those letters are shared with the person trying to open said business. So I had probably 15 letters from people like basically saying that our restaurant should be zoned similarly to a crematorium. And this woman was adamant about it because it's animal flesh and we're going to be back there burning it and for the whole world to have to smell day in and day out for eternity. And I'm like, that is crazy.
She's probably super happy the way things turned
out. Oh, 100%. So, yeah. So, the Transit Road stuff took a really, really long time. I mean, like a year and a half of us just trying to like go back and forth. And, you know, Augie had had, in the process of all this, he had had two open heart surgeries, he had had two brain surgeries, he had had numerous cardiac caths, he had a G-tube placed, he had been back and forth to Rochester a million times for hospitalizations.
Oh shit, rides to the hospital.
Yeah, constantly. But we found a good balance trying to get it all together. And then in January of 2024, I was taking my son to his swim class. So Augie gets like a bunch of different therapies, and we took him to a swim therapy, and I had to go to the bank afterwards. And so it took me, you know, the therapy is in Orchard Park, and I had to find a Bank of America and a Northwest Savings Bank. And so I tried to figure out ones that were close to each other because I had the baby with me. And it took me to the Village of Hamburg. And Chris used to work at Carte Blanche. And when he was the GM of Carte Blanche, they opened up Juicy Burger Bar in this location, and he helped them for like, I don't know, a month?
Yeah, maybe a month and a half.
And he always said like what an awesome location it was. So I had driven past this and Juicy had closed. You know, they had this big falling out with the landlord, and you know, there was allegations of, you know, issues happening with, you know, rent and the landlord and I think the previous building owner. And so they had announced they were closing, I think in like November or October, of 2023. So this place was vacant, and I Google searched the article, and I couldn't find the landlord's information, but his attorney was listed. So I called his attorney, I Googled his attorney's information, and I called the attorney and left a voicemail and said, "Hi, my name's Casey Cassis. I own Mr. Sizzles, and I see that your location is available, and I really would love to come and walk through it if it's not leased yet." And so they had us come out on, I think it was like Super Bowl Sunday or right around there, and yeah, we got to walk the space, and that was that. And we knew that Transit Road was going to take a long time, so we were like, we were anxious.
Yeah, we wanted a second location, and like, and everybody
this was like
wanted
basically
a second
turnkey
location
at that point.
Yeah,
there were things that it looks very different than what it was for Juicy, but
oh, for sure.
We did a lot of work to it, but the bones were there. Mm-hmm. It was a restaurant prior,
sure.
And we really jived. It was the first time we had met the landlords, and we just really liked them. They were a husband and wife. They just bought the building from the previous owner, and they were like excited. And so it was nice to, it was a breath of fresh air from what we had experienced before. So yeah, so we came to Hamburg, but Transit was actually supposed to be location two, but we knew it was gonna take a million years. And so we started doing the stuff for Hamburg. And so we used the same architect, and this time I used a different contractor because I wasn't super loving the contractor. I felt like something nefarious was going on with our contractor, and so I was on high alert at that point. And we got teamed up with Paul Amparelli, who is a awesome contractor. Him and his son,
awesome
his son,
guy.
And his yeah. son is like, his son is the man. So they both are great. But yeah, and so they built this beautiful space out, and
that's yeah. awesome. So I mean, through all of this stuff, was there ever any point, especially during the transit location, where it's just like, let's put everything on pause and just kind of deal with everything happening to Augie? Or was it all just like, let's just keep going because that's our escape from kind of what's happening?
Well, I don't think it was an escape, but it's, you know, I don't know. It's, you know.
It was our only income, mm-hmm. you know? So yeah. It was like, we couldn't stop.
Sure.
Like, Augie's was our helper. Mr. Sizzles was paying our health insurance. So we had a salary that we generated from the business because we operated it. And we had our health insurance, and that's all we took. We never had a distribution. We never did any of that stuff. It was an agreement with our partner from the very beginning. And that was that. You know, we had a lot of employees, and
we were always investing in the business.
Yeah,
you know,
and like we
van,
really, you know,
expanding.
We really wanted to someday be able to buy a house, you know, and be able to like take a family vacation and like do cool stuff with our kids. Like, we didn't have any of that, you know. Like, Chris and I both grew up in like a very blue collar family. Like, I mean, when we started dating, we had nothing, you know, and we were slowly building up our savings account. Like, we were able to, you know, not question how we were going to pay the electric bill every month finally for like the first time ever. I mean, we weren't making like these big purchases, but we were comfortable, and we were able to be with Augie in Rochester and still have an income, which was huge for us.
Yeah, absolutely. So it was more so just, well, we have to go to work because we have to pay for health insurance, mm-hmm. which is really going to help our son. Yeah, I mean,
and we had
we
a lot
really
of people depending on us. You know, we had mm-hmm. at that point, how many employees do you think Sizzles had?
Yeah,
35 employees that needed that place to be successful. You know,
and we felt like we had an obligation. I mean, to Mr. Sizzles
and
you know,
to our partner too,
to just get these other restaurants open. It's like, you know, everything that happened with Augie, that, you know, the world doesn't stop. We can't stop, you know? And I think that's the one thing with Casey and I, why we made it out all this stuff, and why, you know, Augie's as healthy as he is, and why Augie's home, is because Casey and I do not stop ever. And every choice, every decision, everything we do in our life is for our children, everything. You know, whether it be restaurants, how we spend our time. Casey and I see each other, what, 3 hours a week, you know, but everything we do is for
it's
the kids.
His kink. Yeah. That's what that is.
Yeah. It's my thing.
Yeah.
So when you guys, announce that you come to Hamburg. At this point, everyone in Hamburg is thrilled.
Most people are thrilled. there were a couple people that thought we like had.
There were some haters.
Yeah, that's life. Yeah, there were some people that thought we like concocted this like scheme of like getting Juicy evicted, and it was like literally the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard in my life. I'm like, how the hell would you think I worked with the owner of Juicy and told him to like get into a fight with the landlord for a year prior? Like, come on, guys.
But
like,
that, you know, that's the world we live in. Everybody, you know, they get behind the keyboard and let's go. Yeah.
Everyone's looking for a storyline in everything. But like when you're most people being happy that you're here, especially because it was a burger place before, the burger place left and now Burger Place is coming back. That's amazing.
Yeah. And we knew we had big shoes to fill.
Sure.
You know what I mean? Juicy was like, and it still is, even though they moved. I mean, it's a staple.
Yeah.
I mean, they did some like cool shit with food. Mm-hmm. You know, Tim Sardinia, even with Carte Blanche, Carte Blanche was like on the map for a long time. So, like, we are restaurant people. Mm-hmm. I am going to give credit where credit is due. And if you're a local business owner, especially in the restaurant game, like, props, because it's not easy. You are subjected to every asshole's opinion about what you do, how you charge, what you pay people, how your decorations look, the type of music you're playing, and people just get behind the keyboard and then, like, you know, they just come for you. They want to burn your life to the ground because their French fries were not salted the right way, or, you know, it's wild. So it takes thick skin. So if you have a restaurant, like, I'm not coming for you. I'm not in competition with you. I am only in competition with myself.
Yeah. At some point, everybody that was here and was excited for it saw a sign that said, we're stopping for right now. We're not going to go forward. And then an article broke. Yep. Do you want to kind of outline what happened there and just kind of start that whole process? Because I think that's when, even though things were probably going on behind the scenes quite a bit with you guys knowing the situation, this is when the area started knowing of like, okay, something's actually going down.
Yeah. So, God, where to even start? So
it's, I'm just going to say, I don't know if you've ever seen the movie The Founder with Michael Keaton about the McDonald's brothers. It's like, go home and watch it.
Because it really was like a lot like that. It was the most surreal experience I had ever, and probably, I hope, will ever go through. If you have the opportunity to be involved in a lawsuit, please don't do it to yourself. I do not recommend it. It is awful. It is a soul-sucking experience, and it makes you very paranoid, emotional, and you think very unclean thoughts.
And you know, you go through this, you know, Mr. Sizzles is successful. Everybody loves it. You know, Casey and I we're like on top of the world. We're going to do big things. And then one day you find out that everything's basically been a lie. And you're just like, you know, you're just this puppet, really. This like, you know, somebody's just exploiting not only us, but our family, our work, our integrity. And you just find out that basically you're just like a joke to somebody. So what do you do? You know, and I think it's just like with Augie. You know, last year around this time, we were hoping Augie would be home for Christmas. That's all I wanted, was Augie home for Christmas. You know, and there, it's a lot of work keeping Augie healthy. Casey and I make all of his own food. You know, we blend it. It goes through a tube in his stomach. Like Casey said, you know, physical therapy twice a week, occupational therapy, feeding, speech, swim. You know, him having seizures, getting rushed to the hospital. I mean, I heard him coughing the one night, and I went in his room, and it looked like he had blue, bright blue veins going through his body, and, you know, his heart rate's at 220 and rising, you know, and first responders come, and you see their face, and it's like, they just think, you know, it's like, is this the last time I'm going to hold my son? And it's like, we just get through it. And at that moment, when we found out that we were being taken advantage of and people were trying to take our company, it was like, well, what do you do? And I think a lot of people would fold, and Casey and I were just like, we're gonna figure this out and we're gonna fight, you know. And I mean, that's really what we've been doing.
I think they underestimated how absolutely psychotic I am.
100%.
So, you know.
Was it the same people that you grew up with?
Yeah. So
that gave the loan for $200K.
Yep. Yes. That was them.
Yeah. So
she kind of disappeared.
She
took the coward way out.
Yeah. She kind of just faded into the background, and you know, my husband is doing everything, and we were like, what is happening? So there were these like pivotal moments, you know, and I look back now, and I'm like, they were moments where like my spidey senses started tingling. So we were in the hospital. Our son had, another disorder besides his cardiac condition called hydrocephalus, and he has a VP shunt in his brain. So when the shunt malfunctions, which now it's happened twice, he goes through these periods where he vomits nonstop, like 20 to 25 times in a day. And he ends up having to get rushed to the hospital because his intracranial pressures are so high that like he could end up having a stroke. And so we were in and out of the hospital, and he was admitted at this point for failure to thrive because he had lost so much weight. He wasn't keeping feeds down. It was a nightmare. And they needed me at Transit Road. So Chris and I were at the hospital, and I said, stay here with Augie. It was in December. I'm going to go see what's going on Transit. This is prior to us finding, this is like a month prior to us finding this location. And I walk in, and the contractor is there, and he was being a prick. And I'm like, what is this guy's deal? Like, dude, I have like so much shit on my shoulders. Yeah. My son is in the hospital. Like, he was just being a bitch, like saying things under his breath, like kind of stomping around. And I'm like, did I do something? Like, I'm so uncomfortable. Like, what is his problem? And I'm like, Brian, what's wrong? And he's like, your partner is a fucking asshole. And I was like, what? He's like, your partner is a fucking asshole. He owes me $1 million. And I was like, I'm sorry, what? Like $1 million? That's like, I can't even wrap my brain around that. What are you talking about? And so the location that we were originally going to go in prior to Mr. Sizzle's on Connecticut Street, our business partner owned this building. And it was a historic development. Beautiful. Has so much potential, this building. Gorgeous, gorgeous building. It would have this amazing restaurant at the bottom of the bottom of the building. And then there was these like three floors of luxury apartments he was putting in. This contractor that we were using on Transit Road was also doing the project on Connecticut Street. And so now I'm here and I'm talking to him, and he tells me, your partner has been giving us the runaround and hasn't paid us. We're filing a mechanics lien against him to the tune of $975,000 on the Connecticut Street location. And I'm like, I don't even know what a mechanics lien is at this point. I'm like, what the hell? So I'm like, okay, like, I don't know anything about that. Like, I'm not involved. Mm-hmm. That's weird. I'm not sure.
Casey and I were the restaurant people.
Yeah, I'm like, we're just involved in the restaurants. Like, I don't know even, I can't wrap my brain around it, but I'm sure John will make it right to you guys. Like, that's weird. So I called Chris on my way back to Rochester, and I'm like, I gotta tell you something. Brian just told me that they're owed almost $1 million. Chris is like, what? Well, like, why do we care? Who cares? It doesn't involve us. And I'm like, but our partner just signed a construction agreement with them last week. Why would he sign an agreement with them if he knows he owes them $1 million? Right. Like, you wouldn't sign a contract with somebody you owed that much money to. I'm like, this is weird. So I started pushing for information, and then he stopped talking to us. He put a hard stop on all communication with Chris and I.
Brian or the...
Our business partner. I'm too busy to deal with you guys. It doesn't involve... Don't worry about it. It's all getting worked out. You know, they're over budget. They're lying. I didn't owe them that much money. They're idiots. They're just contractors. They don't know anything. They had access to the money. I don't know what they did with it. I got to hire an attorney. And I'm like,
okay. And us being naive and me growing up with his wife, I was always like, Misha would never put us in a bad spot. Like, you know, he's a good guy.
Yeah.
We were just
naive. His best friend was like acting as John's, our business partner, like his secretary, essentially. And so...
Like a middleman.
Like a middleman. And he was like, just go through me. John is so bad at answering his phone and he's so busy. Like, I can answer for him. You let me know what you guys need. And I'm like, well, I am concerned that you guys, you know, John owes him $1 million. Like, how do I know that they're not going to try to subrogate some of those losses through Mr. Sizzles? Like, I don't want to pay that debt.
Yeah.
Like, I'm already nervous about how much this potentially is going to cost. Oh, and by the way, where is all of the money for this construction project?
Because it would start up and they'd work for like a month and then they would stop.
Hmm.
And Casey and I couldn't get answers. And like, at the same time, we're trying to run a restaurant from an intensive care unit. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So day in and day out, we're dealing with Augie. You know, we became really good friends with a couple parents. You know, they ended up losing their kids. I mean, there's just, you're in this insane emotional roller coaster where, you know, if Augie had been healthy and we'd be home, we would have been hyper-focused on, you know, transit and what's going on, but so many things just slip through the cracks because you really are in survival mode and trying to just keep the pieces together. And Casey and I have two daughters as well. So we have two other kids on top of our sick child. You know, it was the first time we were ever away from them. I mean, that was like just as hard was being away from the girls, you know, so we had a very full plate. So these people were able to do a lot to Casey and I without us really catching on.
And honestly, like, I think Chris and I are a lot of things, but like, maybe we're not the smartest people in that moment. Like, I look back on it, we've learned a lot now, but like in that moment, like, we were naive. We weren't smart about it. And we just took what people said to us at face value. And we didn't know any better. We were young business owners. Like,
and we wouldn't.
I couldn't imagine.
Fuck somebody over. So why would they do that to
4
us?
4 years in business, never took money out of the till. Never once took food home to, like, you know, make our family like a bunch of burgers. Never took product out of the building. We weren't, like, we weren't using it as our personal payment. Like, we are loyal to a fault.
Mm-hmm.
And especially to our partner. So I started getting like an ex-girlfriend psychopath, right? Where I'm like, something is fucked. Like, something is going on.
So you're past the weary stage.
Yeah, no,
you're now, full psycho.
Now I'm full on, I'm going through your text messages. I'm gonna hack into your Instagram. I'm figuring it out. Like, you know what I mean?
This is a Lifetime movie.
Yeah, I am going totally, like, nuts. So this stuff happens and I'm like, I just keep thinking about it. I'm like, I know something is going on. So I call our business attorney and she's like, I got to tell you something. I don't know anything about Transit Road. And I'm like, wait, I'm sorry, what? What do you mean you don't know anything about Transit Road? Don't you have a copy of our lease? Don't you have a copy of the purchase agreement? No. John never sent me anything.
I remember her saying, I found out about Transit Road when everybody
from a
else
news
did.
Article.
Yeah.
And I was like, this is also weird. So now I'm like doing the liquor license application for Transit Road. And I start asking my business partner's secretary, where is the EIN paperwork? I need the formation documents for the SLA to file for our liquor license. And he starts giving me the runaround. Oh, we can't find it. Oh, here's a screenshot of the numbers. Oh, the formation documents, they're in a file somewhere. I don't know where they are. And I'm like, I don't know a lot about LLCs, but I know something's off. Something seems weird again.
When Derek and I formed the LLC for BHH, we were like shaking when the paperwork came in. Like, where do we put it? I couldn't imagine meeting an architect and a GC like, we'll figure it out. Like, I'm not throwing shade. I'm completely oblivious to this entire conversation and like
throw
situation.
Shit.
But yeah. I'm like, we were literally having a stroke. Yeah. And I'm like, if we don't make a dollar, I don't know what's going to happen. Like, are we going to get arrested? Yeah. Is the state going to show up?
That's how we were. Newsflash,
we still haven't made a dollar.
I'm
so
like, I don't know what the formation documents are, but yeah. I know that I need to have them.
Right.
Like, yeah. What? Like, he could have sent me a post-it note that just said formation document. I've been like, yeah, that's it. This is it. You know? I had no idea. Yeah. But I knew that I knew, like a crazy ex-girlfriend, that it was weird that they were withholding this from me. Mm-hmm. And so my next down... you know, going down this road of like being a psychopath.
Like what time was
so
this?
So this was, they found out about the construction snafu in December of 2023.
Okay.
January of 2024, I start really pushing them. Like, why are you guys, I don't understand, if you owe them $1 million, why the hell did you sign?
Sure.
A construction contract.
Yeah, and I need a copy of the Articles of Confederation or whatever.
Yeah, whatever those things. Yeah, whatever that weird document is. I need that. So I start getting these like weird phone calls from the contractor. He like came to our house the one day to talk to me, and you know, he like him and I are buddies. We were buddies. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like just a couple of blue collar, you know, whatever.
Just trying to make it work.
We're just trying to figure it out. You know, no big deal. It's $1 million between friends, right? So I ask him, I'm like, you know, he's, we got to figure out what's going on. We need money so we can keep doing this construction. We have a construction agreement. And I'm like, can you send it to me? I actually have never seen the construction contract. And he goes, yeah, I'll send it to you. So he sends it to me and I look at it and I go, now what the hell LLC is that? I don't own that LLC. What's 6409 Transit Road LLC? So now I start asking questions again. And then at the same time, I start researching how to look up LLCs, and I realize that this Mr. Sizzle's expansion LLC doesn't exist in New York State. And I'm like, I'm stumped. I don't understand. So I call the landlord for Transit Road, and we had an agreement with him where we would rent the space, and our rent payments would go towards the purchase price of the building. We had a red line contract that I had to like mark up of like, you know, whatever. It was all in the name of Mr. Sizzles. My signature was going to be on it, Chris's signature. We were so excited. Our business partner was gassing us up for this.
We're going to own a building on Transit Road before we own a house.
Yeah. What did he say it was going to be?
Oh, generational wealth. Fucking asshole.
That's what he sold us on. It's going to be generational wealth. You're going to own a building on Transit Road. It's going to be amazing for your family. And I'm like, holy shit, I don't even own my car. Like, this is fucking huge. Right? And I call the landlord. I'm like, hey, I don't have a copy of the lease or the purchase agreement. Why don't you send it to me? Sure, I'll send it to you. He sends it to me. And I look at it, and Mr. Sizzles isn't on it. Mr. Sizzles was removed from the lease, and the Mr. Sizzles name was removed from the purchase agreement, and this other entity that I had never seen before was on it, 6409 Transit Road LLC. And my business partner and his best friend were concocting this scheme where Mr. Sizzles would rent from them and they would charge us a premium rent. So Benchmark had agreed to rent the space to us for $6,000 a month, and they were going to turn around and rent it to Mr. Sizzles for $18,000 a month. And they never discussed it with Chris and I. And so I didn't really know what to do with that information. So I called our business attorney again and said, like, what the fuck is going on? Like, I don't understand. Like, why are there all of these things? Like, how did he change this? How did he take our name off of documents? Like, I have in my email, I have all the red line versions. My name is on it. My husband's name's on it. The Mr. Sizzles is on it. Now, there's these entities that I don't know where they are from. So we start doing more research, and we found out that Mr. Sizzle's Expansion LLC was an entity that my business partner and his best friend started in the state of Delaware. And they hid that from us. And, you know, that's kind of when things started to implode. And, Mr. Sizzle's Hamburg, because of that, was collateral damage, and so was Mr. Sizzle's. I didn't want to be in business with somebody that was lying to me, and this like snowball of lies kept getting bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. And
it's like every day.
We thought we would find something else out. And so the final nail in the coffin was, you know, he kept trying to like scapegoat everything. Like, you're overthinking it. It's not like that. Like, you just don't understand business. I graduated from Cornell. God. You know, you guys are just a couple of barbacks. These are all emails he sent us. Now, our very nice business partner, the person whose wife my husband's been friends with for 25 years, who would never do us any harm, all of a sudden he's like attacking. And the final straw was him and his buddy were attempting to take out like $2.4 million in loans under this Mr. Sizzle's Expansion LLC that was created in the state of Delaware. And they wanted Mr. Sizzle's LLC, which was our restaurant, to be the guarantor of that loan. And so the Expansion LLC did not belong to me. It didn't belong to my husband. We had no rights to it. And if they would have closed on that loan, they could have taken that $2.4 million and they could have set it on fire if they wanted to. And the next day, we would have been responsible for that debt.
And
so
again,
I refused to allow them to do anything. I refused to allow him to close on this loan.
What was that loan for, do you know?
So they said the loan was for construction costs associated with Transit Road. So, you know, I was trying to figure out a way to like make it work. So I'm like, well, we want to make sure we open up transit. Like, I don't want to, I put so much money into, or I've put so much energy into developing this restaurant. Like, it's going to be beautiful. Like, I had everything was picked out. All the equipment was sitting in a storage, or, you know, was sitting at the vendor. Like, it was already delivered. Like, I mean, we were like ready. And I just kept saying like, I don't know, like, I don't know, I don't know. And then Chris was like, do not let him take that money. I don't trust him. I'm telling you, you have to trust me on this.
That intuition again.
There, something is going on. Do not do it. And so,
listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
This fall, fall in love with Cozy. Nothing says autumn like wrapping up in the rich, warm colors of Minky Couture. From golden ambers to deep burgundy and rustic browns, Minky blankets bring the beauty of the season right into your home. Perfect for crisp evenings, family time, or gifting someone special. Fall in love with Minky and shop your favorite fall colors today at MinkyCouture.com.
Started, you know, threatening us and said, basically
and,
told.
And during all this, this is what you got to remember, is our only source of income is Mr. Sizzle's. All these people are coming out of the woodwork saying that this guy owes them money, right? Things are getting sticky without the health insurance that Sizzle's gave us. You know, Augie's the wild card during all this. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? We need health insurance for our son. And that was really, that is in our mind this whole time. You know, the stakes don't get any higher.
So I remember it was July 3rd, 2024. So we were going to the fireworks in East Aurora at Hamlin Park. And I'm so stressed out because I'm fighting with my partner constantly and I'm just scared. Like, are we going to lose everything? Mm-hmm. Like, the restaurant is so successful. Like, I can't imagine it not being around. Like, that, this is crazy.
And they started throwing some pretty big threats at us.
Yeah, like, wouldn't it be a shame if Augie didn't have health insurance anymore?
That's what I was going to ask, if you ever held it over your head.
Oh yeah, it's literally in the lawsuit. So he started threatening to cancel our son's health insurance.
I never agreed to this.
You know, you and Chris are already compensated. You know, you don't get any more money. You need to pay back your salaries to the business.
I never agreed on your salary. It's a loan. You owe me.
Yeah, you need to pay me back all the money. I want you to pay it back to the business tomorrow. Effective immediately, you are no longer allowed to collect your salary, but you need to continue operating the business. That's what he told us. So I had to hire an attorney. My business attorney says, Casey, I can't be involved. I represent the company. You need to get counsel. So I said, okay. So I got an attorney, and in about 30 seconds, we've racked up $10,000 in legal expenses, and I thought I was going to have a heart attack. And I'm like, we don't have the money to do this. Like, I don't know what to do. You know, like, he's forcing us out of our business, out of everything we created, and then also forcing us to continue to work in it. Like, this
and didn't he say something like, I'll bankrupt your family or something along those lines? Like, I'm not going to quote it, but it was,
you don't have the money to fight me, is what he would say. And so,
like, we saw his true colors real quick.
So so this was going on. And then in August, I went to Boston. I started, Augie was getting sicker, and he had a procedure in Rochester earlier in the year. And I just didn't trust what they were saying. Not that I didn't trust the doctors, because they're phenomenal there. But I don't, it was like, it was one of those moments where you're just like, I want a second opinion. And so I fought for him to be seen at Boston Children's Hospital. And I brought him there, and they told us he was in heart failure and that he needed a heart transplant and that he wasn't going to qualify for his next palliative open heart surgery. Without that surgery, he dies. It just, that's the prognosis. So we went to Boston, and while we were there, I said, I'm not going to let this fucking person do this to us anymore, and we are going to fight. And, you know, I tried to figure out a way to, like, work through it with him, and he just would refuse. I thought we would get, like, a little closer to coming to an agreement on things. And
we were willing to give up a lot. Like, at this point, we knew he was a terrible person, right? We knew who he was, but it was still, let's come to a common ground, get everything in writing, protect ourselves. Mm-hmm. You know, at this point, we were like, we'll open up these three restaurants and never do anything else with them and just do our own stuff.
So I met this guy in Boston, and he ended up being like an angel to me. And he came to the hospital. He was an investor. He came to the hospital, and he was like, let's sit down and talk. I want you to talk me through everything that's going on with your partner. And I said, okay. And I told him everything. And he said, I got to tell you, he seems like a smart guy. Like, I don't know if I believe you. And I was like, okay. Like, I don't have anything to hide. Like, this really is what's going on. He said, I'm going to give you a piece of advice. You need to lawyer up. And I just started crying. And I was like, I don't have the money to do that. And he said, you have to. You got to figure it out. You got to find the balls and do it, because this person is trying to take everything your family has ever worked for. You got to do it. You got to find the best attorney you can. So I came home, and I begged my family to help us, and I found an attorney, Tony Rupp, and he agreed to follow me, you know, through all of this and help us. And he was been like one of the biggest blessings through all of this. And so Tony is a pit bull of an attorney, and
Uncle Tony.
A lawsuit. our business partner launched a lawsuit against us, claiming that our salary over the last 4 years was a loan, and that we had to pay it back. And his grounds for it were that in our operating agreement there was not a corporate resolution outlining the dollar figure of our salary, and so therefore it wasn't real, even though there was hundreds of emails from him agreeing to our salary amount, hundreds of conversations. The tax records showed that our money was salary. The business paid our salary to us like a salary. It was taxed appropriately.
Yeah, I mean, but Casey he I got all a paycheck every week, like anybody else would.
Yeah, and so then he said that our health insurance was never agreed to because it wasn't in a corporate resolution in our operating agreement, and so that he wanted us to pay back to the business our health insurance costs. And so Tony started representing us, and about a week into representing us, another lawsuit dropped. But this time it dropped on our business partner. Allegations of fraud and racketeering, RICO, at that property on Connecticut Street, by Plutus Lending, and they were suing him for $2.4 million, the same amount of money that he was trying to take out through Mr. Sizzles.
So somebody else sued him?
Because he took out a mortgage through this Plutus Lending for $2.4 million and lied to them, And I did all sorts of strange things with selling the property to one entity for a dollar and then to his friend for a dollar and back and forth. And somehow the $2.4 million is gone and they're suing him. So, you know, I think when I look back on it, I think that he was using Mr. Sizzles as a way to pay this big time lender so that it wouldn't, his wife wouldn't find out about it and that it wouldn't go to court. But now they're suing him. I mean, he's a finance guy. If they nail him down, I mean, he's...
Yeah, he's gone.
He's probably in much worse, you know, shape than we even realize.
But wait, there's more. Then there was a blue house.
Oh, yeah.
On Connecticut Street.
I forgot about this. So in August, I got back from... This is like the best... Well, not the best part. This is awful. But in August... After Augie's heart transplant evaluation with Boston Children's Hospital, I came home and I got a phone call in the middle of the night that this house on Connecticut Street had gone up in flames. So our business partner had this property on Connecticut Street and then next to it was this house. And he bought the house for cash and didn't put insurance on it and then let his dipshit brother-in-law gut it and then they left it. And it was like overrun with homeless, you know, displaced people. It was a drug house.
We would yell at him constantly. It's like, listen.
You have to clean up this property. Like there's a woman that lives next door that's been in the neighborhood for, you know, 50 years. It's her house is going to go down. Like you got to take, it's not safe. Our daughter works at the restaurant. Like we have families that are coming in. We have staff here. There are tenants that live in this building. You are caught, like, this is a danger. You need to do something about it. And he would blow us off. Wouldn't talk to us about it. It was over. It was awful. It was super disgusting. So I get a phone call in the middle of the night. It went up in flames. And a Buffalo firefighter was injured. It caused $500,000 in damage. And it took the neighbor's house down with her and her husband in it and her daughter's ashes.
Oh, my God.
She lost everything.
Her and her husband are okay. And, you know, we're super tight with her, you know, we're still in contact with her, but
she lost everything, 40 years of memories in that house because of our partner.
Was it an arson or did it just go up in flames because he didn't take care of it?
It was an arson.
Okay.
It was an arson. So I don't know if he, you know, I know there was an investigation into whether he was involved in it. I don't know one way or another, but you know, there was a huge fire. Someone was hurt. And then, you know, a family lost their home. So there was this, like, Pantelina trail of destruction that happened.
On Connecticut Street.
And, you know, we were in the crossfire of all of it. I mean, it was crazy. It was literally the craziest thing I've ever experienced. And it went on for, like, 4 months. And it was soul-sucking. But, you know, all things eventually do end.
Yeah, so... At time of recording, it's September 2025.
Yep.
So where are we now?
So now,
like, is this dude in jail?
I mean, I wish. I think about it, you know. I don't know. The old me is like, yep, you know, burn him to the ground, you know. But like the new version of me, the person that was born through the ashes of all of this, you know, he's got two kids. I don't want to see anybody, you know, go through that. And I, who's to say if the roles were reversed, what would I have done? You know, if you're in a situation financially where you're going to lose everything and you want to save your family, like, do I think he's a bad guy? I mean, he was a shithead to me and my family, but I don't think he's like inherently a bad person. I mean, Chris probably feels differently.
He's kind of evil to the core, but
It's like I would go to the ends of the earth for my family. Yeah. I would do anything. You cross us, I will burn you to the ground. You know, and like maybe that's what he was going through. I mean, he was facing situations that were of financial magnitude that I can't even wrap my head around. You know, there was this $2.4 million, which is still going on, lawsuit with Plutus Lending. And you can look it up on the NYSEP website. There's the house fire that is also going to be in litigation for $500,000 because he's being sued, or the entity he owns is being sued on that. He had another he has all these different LLCs. He had another LLC, Connecticut Street Hospitality Group LLC, that he took out $500,000 in loans in and defaulted, and he was personally guaranteed on them. So they just, that went to litigation, and now they filed a judgment against him. And Benchmark was suing him on Transit Road because he defaulted and destroyed their building, and he was personally guaranteed over there. So that was like another $1 million. Not to mention $1 million mechanics lien, and then another mechanics lien on Transit Road. So, you know, I mean, you're looking at like $7 million in pending lawsuits. Like, you know, what do you do?
Yeah.
So, you know, it's like, I can't spend my whole life dwelling on him. I mean, he was like, you know, he was my bad guy for a year, but now, you know, it's over. Like, the lawsuit's over, and we got all the assets of Mr. Sizzles, and the trademark belonged to me. It was in my name, so that continues to be mine. And, you know, we're focused on what's ahead.
Yeah.
And through all of this, it's been a journey. I got really scared in December. I thought, I'm never going to allow someone to take everything from me ever again. Nobody's going to take my power. And so I applied for a job with Twin City Ambulance and got my EMT certification. And I was brutally honest with them in the interview process. I'm like, hey, hire me. I'm a hot mess. But I'm like loyal to a fault.
Yeah.
And like, there's a lot of drama going on, but like, I promise you, I'm a hard worker. And they invited me to participate in their boot camp program, which I did. And I fell in love with this job in EMS, and they are now sponsoring me. I'm in paramedic school at ECC, and hopefully I get through the course. And by this time next year, I'll be a paramedic, which will, you know, allow me to practice in Boston when Augie eventually leaves for his heart transplant, which has like a year and a half, he'll be gone. So. I'll be able to live with him in the hospital in Boston and then work on an ambulance to help my family collect an income. And then, you know, Chris can work in the restaurants.
That's awesome for you that you got that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, Casey's a powerhouse. It's, you know, honestly, I mean, it inspires me every day. And, you know, with Augie, when you think, you know, you need a heart transplant, you know, what I remember when the doctors told us, it was a no-brainer. It's like, that's what he needs. That's what we're going to do. We had no idea what really goes into it. So Augie's listed 1B now, and that means he's home with us. When they list him 1A, you're all of a sudden, you're at the bottom of the list again. You're starting, and you have to be admitted in the hospital. So, you know, realistically, we could be in the hospital for a year to a year and a half.
Waiting. Just waiting for a heart.
Until he gets a heart. And then from there, you know, if everything goes perfect, we're going to be in the hospital for 3 months after that. And then 2 months after that, we got to live within 20 minutes of the hospital. I don't know what or how we're going to do it. We'll just worry about that when the time comes. But like we have been doing this whole time, we just keep fighting and we're going to just do it. And, you know, even during the lawsuit, when this person was coming at us in the worst possible way, I mean, Casey and I got no sleep. We cried constantly, you know, because we're worried about Augie. But we would look. I remember, like, I would take Casey to his crib in the middle of the night, and she's crying. And I'm like, if this little boy can fight and hold out like he has, I was like, we're going to get through this lawsuit stuff, no problem. And really, that's what got us through everything is Augie. And I remember Cora, you know, because, you know, my six-year-old, I mean, she was about 4 or 5 at the time. She picks up on things. And I remember, like, we were upset, and my daughter looked at me, and she goes, is it because of John? And at that moment, I was like, there is no way in hell that she is going to see us bow a knee to this person, lose to this person. Like, she's going to grow up and be like, my parents believed in something, fought, and lost. Or they believed in something and they fought and they won. And, you know.
Yeah, I mean, and like when all this like lawsuit stuff was going on, when it was like real heavy, like lawsuits are expensive.
Yeah.
In between, let's just call it July of 2024 to present day, we're over 100,000 in legal expenses. Mm-hmm. Well over 100,000 in legal expenses. That's a lot for two bartenders. Yeah. You know, that's a lot. It's like more than some people make in a year.
Yeah.
Most people. So, you know, when this was going on, his whole thing was he was trying to force Chris and I to either dilute our equity down to nothing and continue to run the restaurants or dilute our equity, you know, just enough that he could be in control.
Hmm. Were you 50-50 at the time?
We were 50-50 with him. And when we wanted...
Which makes it shocking that you weren't involved in any of the redlined and stuff like that.
Well, we were. So the redline version, we were involved in. He took that redline version, though.
And modified it.
Isn't that a crime, though, too?
You know, I think at that point, like, what hasn't been...
Yeah, which that's also only... helping in court is because you still have those.
Like, I have everything.
It's emailed.
I literally...
Like, obviously, it's going to be kept, and it's your business. So, like, why wouldn't that be kept? Again, like, where's the Articles of Confederation?
Yeah, like give me those articles.
I need the red line version.
All of our stuff is deleted, so don't worry about it.
But, like, it's... That's... Oh, my God. That's crazy.
Yeah, so, like, even like, when we were doing the Mr. Sizzle's Hamburg stuff, so, like, I mean, things started getting, like, wild. You know, he was trying... all sorts of crazy tactics. I'm telling you, like, I was so paranoid. I'm like, is he like stalking us? Like, this is wild. Like, what are you doing? And he was just like threatening us every which way possible. I'm gonna cancel your son's health insurance. Think about what that means for Augie. You know, you guys don't know what the hell you're doing. You guys are so greedy. His wife sent us this like nasty text message about how you should have listened to my husband. You don't know what this is going to do to us financially. Like, what you and your husband do with other investments is not my business. And like, I'm not going to be a vessel for you guys to recoup your losses because you did some stupid shit, you know, because you're shuffling money from one place to another and there's like wire fraud. Like, I am not involved in that. Like, that is beyond my understanding. But yeah, and what I do know is you're not going to make Mr. Sizzles, you know, pay for your shit.
Yeah. Right. And now, God bless, your daughter's never going to date a guy, John, ever.
Oh, no. Right. So, no.
You know, no. It's never going to happen.
We had a cousin named John. We've removed him from the family just on principle.
But, so do you think that you guys were more of like a victim of opportunity? Because you were the one that reached out to her in the first place. So, like, how did...
But we didn't...
But, like, when I reached out, it was from a sincere place.
Yeah.
And, again, like... I was really close with them in those magic years. So from like 10 to like 18.
Hmm.
So I would go to their house. I would eat dinner with their family. If I went to their house and they weren't home, their mom would still give me food. Do you have any money on you? Give me a 20. You know, you can't be out there without money. So her brother didn't have social media. I didn't have his phone number. We had lost touch, but he was a childhood friend. And I heard that his dad was sick. Mm-hmm. So I found her on Facebook and reached out, like, how's your dad doing this? And that's how our talk started. And I had actually opened up a restaurant. I was the opening GM for a restaurant on Main Street in Williamsville. And I was, you know, I was always promoting it and putting stuff on Facebook. And, you know, she was like, I see that you're opening this restaurant. Would you want to manage a restaurant for me? And like Casey said, you know, like, probably 3 weeks before, I had told Casey, like, we both really weren't super in love in our jobs. You know, we had our girls, and I'm like, let's just do this ourselves. Like, if, you know, I'm going to do this the rest of my life. Like, let's just do it us. Like, I always wanted to do it, but kind of lacked the confidence. But, you know, ever since Casey and I met from day one, we just, like, were in sync, and I kind of feel unstoppable. I've really never had anybody believe in me the way she does, and her talent, I mean, is through the roof. And I knew that we could create and do something special. We just didn't have the money. I remember she was like, how are we gonna pay for this? I'm like, I don't know. People invest in people all the time.
Yeah. And like, yeah, we'll figure it out. I'm like, okay.
It just kinda happened.
Yeah.
Just kinda like fell into our lap, you know, and we just trusted him. Really?
Do you think this was his plan all along, or just things started snowballing?
You know what? I mean, maybe a little bit, you know, because like, our operating agreement. You know, our original operating agreement for Mr. Sizzles LLC was definitely one-sided. Mm-hmm. You know, we couldn't afford an attorney that could really represent us in the way that we needed to be represented in that moment.
Sure.
Because he, you know, you talk to him and like, I think a lot of people, even attorneys, you know, are like way over their skis with him because he's kind of a shyster. He's a little grimy.
He'll make you believe things.
He makes you believe things because he talks so much. He can be so personable that like, I think people kind of gravitate to him a bit, but like, you know, he uses that as a way to manipulate mm-hmm. people. I mean, he did it with us. He's done it with his wife, you know, it's like, I mean, he knew what he was doing, you know, so there was this line in our operating agreement that I never noticed. I mean, an operating agreement's like 50 pages long, but there was a line in the operating agreement, and this is what allowed him to file the lawsuit. And the line said, electronic communication does not count. And so what that allowed him to do was use our salary or our health insurance payments as like a pressure point on us, because even though electronically through communication we did everything, right, as most people do in business, people don't go to their attorneys when they make simple changes and sign corporate resolutions. You want to increase the salary you're making from the business that you work in every day, you call your business partner and you say, hey, I want to make X amount of dollars, and the business partner says yay or nay, and then you guys exchange an email and you keep it moving. Hey, I want to do a distribution this month. Okay, how much? Da-da-da-da-da. Send it over. You sign it, I sign it. We're all good. That's how everybody does things in business. Like, most people don't follow true corporate formalities. And two bartenders from Buffalo with no, you know, college education and certainly no contract education, that was our fault. You know, we trusted someone and every single person told us not to trust people.
We're like, no.
It won't happen to us. Like, we'll be fine. Like,
we go way back.
Everything will be good. And so, and it freaking happened to us, you know? And so he had himself positioned where if things imploded, he had like a ripcord where he could say, well, if they do something and I don't like it, well, I can threaten them with this. And that's, so like, I think it was more of a protection for him. I don't, you know.
I think it was him being like a crafty business manager.
But he's crafty, exactly. Yeah. And so, but, you know, through the lawsuit, his whole thing was basically us giving our equity to his best friend. Mm-hmm. And that was it. And so, you know, recently his best friend had responded to a lawsuit that's in court saying that he's owed like $750,000. And so now we're realizing like, oh shit, he probably was giving our partner money for God only knows what. Mm-hmm. And now he's in a panic. It's like, just a couple of boys from upstate New York coming for some Buffalonians, you know?
Yeah,
but
that's it.
That's wild.
Yeah, newsflash, we don't have shit. So yeah, right. Good luck.
When did you make the transition to call it Augie's and get away from the Mr. Sizzle name? Because you trademarked it. So did you battle with keeping the name, or did you just kind of want to cut
ties? You know, we did, but like, so we had a lot of conversations because, you know, if we open up another restaurant or we're involved in another restaurant, like, do we want to use the Mr. Sizzles name? There's a lot of clout that comes with Mr. Sizzles. And honestly, good press or bad press, it doesn't matter. People know who you are. They recognize your logo. They recognized our font that we used. They recognized our tagline. And to me, though, it felt like it had cooties. And after everything we went through with this person, I couldn't stomach the idea of him sitting at a bar with his buddies and saying like, oh, you see how successful Mr. Sizzles is? I was part of that. And I just said, fuck him. You want to talk about the restaurant? I want you to say my son's name every single time. I want you to remember that name and remember the little boy who was dying that you tried to cancel his health insurance. I want you to remember that. I mean, these people knew the most intimate details of what was going on with our son, things we didn't even share with our family.
Yep, even through all this, like, lawyers are involved, things, I mean, shit's getting real. We were always, always honest and upfront, like, guys, time out, I know we're fighting. We just found out Augie needs a heart transplant. And I mean, there was just zero compassion. I think we got sued a week after we told them Augie needed a heart transplant.
They just did this, like, they did this big fundraiser for us, Positive Approach. They made, like, t-shirts that said Strong Like Augie. Mm-hmm. And, like, 72 hours after that, he filed that lawsuit against us. I mean, it was very, like, calculated. And
the
dog
organization?
No, Positive Approach, the t-shirt company.
Oh, the t-shirt company.
Yeah, Positive Approach.
Got it.
Yeah.
They're awesome.
Positive
Approach is amazing.
Yeah, they're great. So, you know, everything was, like, very calculated. And I think even now, and I actually, when I told people I was going to paramedic school, there was a couple, like, naysayers about, oh, you haven't been in EMS long enough. Oh, you can't possibly go to paramedic school. You don't understand what it takes to get through this program, and you can't do it with a sick kid. And I think my business partner's biggest downfall through all of this and is that people assume that when you have a sick kid that they are a weakness. You know, it's a weakness you have. And honestly, it's like the biggest motivator in my life. It has lit this fire in me that, like, I didn't even know existed. I can take on a lawsuit, paramedic school, a heart transplant, a husband. You want to go bare knuckle box in the backyard? Like, bring it on.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if you've ever dealt with a husband with a cold, you know, or, you know, sometimes we just need a little chocolate.
Sleeping on that cot at the hospital. It's tough,
it's a challenge.
You know, it's like these, I, when we found out Augie was sick, Chris didn't go through this, but I went through this. So sometimes when you have a sick kid, people, like, stop being your friend. It's like kind of fucked up, you know? They just stop talking to you completely. I think
it's hard.
People don't know what to say, you know? It's like,
yeah, no one knows how to navigate that.
You don't. Yeah. Like, you're, oh, I'm sorry that your kid is dying. Like, I don't know what to say. And so the people that I was closest with when we found out how sick he really was, completely turned their back on me and disappeared. And I spent, like, a lot of time just being just alone, you know, with, like, my thoughts and, like, trying to navigate this whole change in my life. You know, I don't drink. I have no social life. Like, my son is sick. I don't leave the house. What do I do? So I got into sports gambling. I did. And the day that Augie was discharged from the hospital, we won a 14-leg parlay. And
Jesus Christ. This kid doesn't even do fantasy football, so he has no idea what you're talking about.
No, I understand a parlay. It's a string of bets, and if you hit, you hit. But
I took the money line on 14 teams, and the day that we got discharged from the hospital was week one. It was 20
Bills home opener.
Bills home opener, and I hit every team. So it all went to lawyers. All of it.
So Casey goes.
But we went on this crazy vacation with it, and then, you know, I got really into the medical mom thing, and I have gotten this big friend group now of other parents that have been in similar medically situations, because I don't know a lot of people have been the other stuff that we went through, but, like, the medical stuff, and, you know, they really influenced us to name it Augie's and do the stuff with Augie's, and so there's these cool little Easter eggs now on the Augie's menu where some of the menu items that have little hearts next to them are actually named after babies that have passed away that we got to meet through this journey and families. So
for this month in September, the Sunny Boy is named after a beautiful little boy, Sunny, that was in the hospital two different times with us in Rochester. So not only does he have his own sandwich, but this month, $5 to every Sunny Boy sold is going to go to a fundraiser that his moms do. This is
the
their
Sunny
second
Side
year.
Up Foundation. And they donate money to, like, families that are like ours that go through
families that lost their kids.
Or families that lost their kids. Yeah. So so we try to do different things for you know, heart warrior families and bereaved parents. So
and, like, the more we grow, as a restaurant, the more we're going to be able to give back. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it really is like a vessel for us to help, whether it's feeding people at the Ronald McDonald House, being able to raise money for somebody like Sonny. You know, this is the first big thing we've been able to do, but since day one, this is kind of what, I don't know, excites me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I feel like now after the dust is settled, we finally feel like we got like our mojo back.
So we're going to get sued after this podcast.
Probably. We're probably going to get sued for having you guys on, but that's fine. We'll talk about that later. His involvement now, is it
gone?
Completely gone?
Ding Dong, awesome. The Witch is dead.
Awesome.
Now, yeah, I mean, you know, that stuff, it's just putting it behind us.
It's just a distraction. Mm-hmm. It's like, we went through it. It happened. It's a crazy story. Maybe they'll make a Netflix movie about it. I don't know. Like
even talking about it, it's like, shit, man, we really went through it.
And that's like the cliff notes on it. I mean, there are so many more things, you know. It's like, oh, God, we're talking about this. And it's like, we forgot about the fire. Yeah. It's like, that's like a huge thing. Like, it was so, you know, there was all these things that were happening. And there's all this information flying at you, you know, like 100 miles an hour constantly. I mean, you're just like emotional whiplash every single day. But you know, he's never coming back to Buffalo again. I can promise you that. So
that's good.
So
what advice would you give? I mean, going through all of this, what advice would you give a new restaurant owner?
An attorney.
Okay.
Borrow money, do whatever you have to do. Like if you're willing to put it all on the line and open up a restaurant, God bless you. If you're the sweat equity, if it's your concept, you're the one that's going to be working and somebody funded it, you do whatever you have to do to get real counsel and have somebody give you a legit contract. And don't worry if they're going to be mad at you. You know, it's business. You got to get it all in writing.
Yeah, every single thing. I mean, that was like the biggest lesson, is like understanding fully what you're signing. Because like, I didn't understand any of it. I was just like, yeah, this sounds good. And, you know, one of the other things that he had done in when we first opened Mr. Sizzles was we had been talking for a year and like, we need an operating agreement. We need contracts. I don't know why we need them, but we know we need them. Like, give us a contract. And he kept blowing it off. And it was like 48 hours before Mr. Sizzles on Connecticut Street was going to open. And we called him and we're like, we're not fucking opening. I'm not opening this restaurant without something on paper. Put pen to paper or we're not opening. And so then he was like, oh, okay. And then, you know, sent us an operating agreement and we just signed because we were scared that we weren't going to have.
Again, $80 in our checking account.
Yeah, we had nothing. And when we first opened Mr. Sizzles, we didn't have the salary. So we had nothing. We worked, like the first month we were open, we had literally nothing. Mm-hmm. We weren't getting a paycheck. And so he was like, well, we'll do like 50-50. I'll take $5,000. You guys take $5,000. And so that's what we were doing. And then finally, it was like 3 months into being open. It's like, John, like we like legitimately need an income. Like we can't, like we're working full time. If you want us to get jobs, we will. And we'll just maintain our equity. And he's like, no. You guys are the success of the restaurant. It doesn't work without you guys. You need to be working. So we said, okay, we each want to make $70,000.
Yeah.
And he was like, done. I was like, we need health insurance. Done. Okay, great. Perfect. And that's it. That's all she wrote. I mean, we didn't take a raise. There was like a few months where, I didn't think the restaurant was doing as well. There was a staff member that was in management that was stealing, and we couldn't figure it out initially. But the numbers made me really uncomfortable. So I stopped getting paid for like 2 months. I didn't have an income like a year after we opened because this person was stealing.
Well, it was when Augie was in the hospital.
And Augie was in the hospital. I didn't recoup those losses when I did that. I just put it all on the line for the business every single day. You know, it was our concept. It was our food. It was our menu items. It was our recipes. It was our design. I mean, we designed all of it. Mm-hmm. And
yeah, that's the other thing. It's not necessarily like it's just a ground patty, like
No.
Some burger and
we make everything.
Here's some
all
cheese.
Of our sauces
it's like
are,
there's yeah. seasonings, there's sauces, like all of that had to be thought of.
Yep. Oh, every single sauce in house, minus ketchup and mustard, we make.
Yep.
You know, I mean, and we really, you know, we R&D and we try things. And, I mean, we always try to push the envelope. We want things to be because it's expensive to go out to restaurants. You know, I mean, we're not turning like a 70% profit on.
Yeah,
like,
this isn't Wendy's in 99.
It's not. You know, I mean, like how much is a Whopper right now?
Yeah, I mean, it's like $9.
I mean, give me a break, you know? And here's the thing, like McDonald's food, it doesn't mold.
Yeah.
It's completely fake.
It's completely gross. Fake. So like when people try to compare the two, you know, but I mean, we busted our ass for that business. Yeah. It was devastating, you know?
Even when we reopened this, you know, we reopened with a new menu. You know, we kept some of the staples. But, like, during all of this, you know, like, I'm sitting there R&Ding new menu foods with my good friend Adrian Beluski in the Statler, you know, just working on menus. Casey's coming back from paramedic school or your EMT boot camp. I'm like, you got to swing by the Statler. Try this food. Tell me what you think, you know. It was...
Just grind it out, so you know? Much, I mean, yeah. I think, like, yeah. that would be my... My suggestion is like always protect yourself in every scenario, because sometimes it's the person that's closest to you that really is like your demise. Well, not maybe.
What's up, bud?
I saw you guys holding hands. Sure
did. We've actually been linked through the legs this entire interview. So honestly, I feel like we need to set up round three in like 6 months or a year, because there's going to be a lot of changing since then
100%.
Too.
100%.
Are you still opening transit?
We had the opportunity to possibly, but like, I can't even wrap my brain around being in construction. Like, I want to focus on paramedic school, Augie's transplant, and let Chris do his thing at Hamburg and Buffalo. So,
and it's been tough, you know, because really, we're a part of a brand new restaurant. You know,
I don't think a lot of people realize that the connection between Mr. Sizzles and Augie's. You know, and I remember when we had Mr. Sizzles, Chris was always so proud, and he would say like, it's me. Yeah. I'm Mr. Sizzle, you know, and now he'll go.
Yeah, I still wear the hat.
Yeah, but now he goes, I'm Augie's dad.
I'm Mr. Sizzle, but I'm also Augie's dad.
Yeah, he's pretty excited about it. But, I mean, you know, we went through so much hell. I mean, and it got really crazy. You know, I mean, he was, his buddy and him were contacting ex-employees, telling them that they were going to open up Mr. Sizzles and they were going to get rid of us, and him and these like ex-employees that were fired for various egregious offenses were going to like run Mr. Sizzles, and Casey and Chris were going to be gone forever. And it was like, you know, it's like, that's crazy. Yeah. Like, no.
Yeah, but when you hear that news, you'll tailspin.
Oh, I do.
You know,
I sent a text message with those employees and my partner and just saying like, fuck you guys. It's never going to happen. But, you know, I mean, we can laugh about it now. We weren't laughing like this before, but it feels good to talk about it. And it's too crazy of a story to not be able to say, because like the spin on it from the media was very like, they were taking money, they embezzled $500,000. It's like, fucking kidding me? Like, $500,000? Do you know what I would be doing with $500,000? I'll tell you what, I wouldn't be paying rent. I would have bought a house.
Yeah.
Or I would have paid my car off. Or I would have done a million other things. But like, I would have went jet setting. Like, I would have bought a diamond. I don't know. I would have done something cool, you know? I'd probably cash it all in and like,
but people put are it on,
bring it to the casino and have a good time.
Do more sports betting.
But like none of that happened. It was just people were
very nasty.
Yeah, and like you were subjected to all these like
my favorite
crazy people that were, I mean, people were sending us like messages, like complete strangers that probably had never been to the restaurant before. Like, you stole money. It's like, what
this was
the
my
fuck
favorite. Do you remember this one? And one day I'll meet this guy in real life. I can't wait. He does barbecue catering out of Clarence, and he said, stop stealing money from your business to take care of your sick kid and open up Transit Road already.
Wow.
Oh, yeah.
So that was the last message. After I read that, I just didn't look I didn't look at anything that anybody said ever again. I told Casey the same thing. It's like, what's reading this gonna do?
It was very interesting being a resident, not knowing like what's happening behind the scenes, because the news article did nothing to like help anybody understand what was going on.
No.
So everybody's like, what is going on? We just want burgers, man. Like open up already. Yeah. And then we're like peeking inside the window, seeing if anything's happening. So honestly, thank you so much for coming on. This is just so much information that I'm glad that we were able to get out.
Yeah, it's been a while, you know?
Thank you for trusting us as well.
It's
a huge honor and privilege, honestly. I mean, we deeply care about you guys as well, but it's definitely full circle.
Yeah, it definitely is a crazy story with a lot of twists and turns, but you know, we're in a different place now, you know, and Augie's is... It's not Mr. Sizzles, you know, it's something...
It's Augie's.
It's Augie's. It's something different. And it's
special, and it really, really, really has almost become like a little mecca for, you know, congenital heart disease. And, you know, there's been people who have lost their kids, people that have brought in their, you know, children. You know, I met a 9-year-old who has the same heart, you know, defect that Augie does. And there's something so powerful here that Sizzles never had, and we're just such different people now, and really just that's what drives us is, you know, I mean, like I said, our kids and just now families with sick kids, and you know, it is something special. Every Monday, I got to throw a little plug here, every Monday we do $5 Sizzles. Nice. So you can come in and get a Sizzle for $5, and then 7 days a week, we do Augie Hour from 4 to 6 and 9 to close, and we have all kinds of fun food and drink specials that are you can get at the counter or the bar.
And Tuesdays, kids are half off.
Yeah, nice. Half off kids meals.
Kids Wednesdays. Meals.
So we're just
you can be an adult and get a kids meal.
Yeah, it happens all the time.
It happens all the time.
And you're in the perfect location. I mean, this spot in Hamburg is awesome. And then you still have the other building.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty awesome to be back on Connecticut Street and be at our old stomping grounds. And, like, Connecticut Street has some awesome businesses over there.
Yeah, you huge know, like, shout out to, like, you know, Ryan
Southern Junction.
And Southern Junction.
Freaking and love that guy so much.
Chris and Buffalo Pizza Bistro. Yeah. You know, we got Mint, Bread Hive. I mean, there's
Bread
so
Hive's
many.
Awesome. Oh, so good. So freaking good. But, like, we got a lot of great businesses there. And same here. I mean, Hamburg is cool.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Hamburg's got some awesome places. And it's just, like, a fun
Butera's
little. Yeah, we love Butera's. You know, it's just, like, a fun place to, like, walk around. And there's so much personality, you know? Like.
It's like a little Hallmark.
It really is.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool. So, you know, we enjoy it. There's a lot of families that are around here. And. You know, we're open late every day, so it's like I think people are finally understanding that like there's business open.
Yeah.
At 11 p.m. I'm like, yeah, we're
seven,
open. Come
7 days a week, 11 to 11.
Yep. So.
That's awesome.
And it's fun being a part of this community.
Really. Absolutely.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah. Well, thank you guys again so much. I appreciate you coming and tell the story. I know that it wasn't easy at sometimes, and I really appreciate it. Everybody, come check out Augie's if you have not been to Augie's before or had a smash burger from them. It is amazing. 11 to 11 every day. Hamburg, Connecticut Street. You got to check them out. Mike, anything else?
No, thank you guys. Honestly, I appreciate it.
We love you guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Love you too. See you.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This fall, fall in love with Cozy. Nothing says autumn like wrapping up in the rich, warm colors of Minky Couture. From golden ambers to deep burgundy and rustic browns, Minky blankets bring the beauty of the season right into your home. Perfect for crisp evenings, family time, or gifting someone special. Fall in love with Minky and shop your favorite fall colors today at minkycouture.com.